Welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Part of going forward is remembering where we've come from. Always, in our personal lives and as a church, we remember where we've come from. Even as a nation, we remember where we've come from. Last week, we had a bunch of folks up here, and we honored them because in the past, they had walked in faith, they had stepped in the direction, they were pioneers. Pioneers. I thought of that word this week. They were pioneers of faith. Because you know what a pioneer does? He makes a road where there is no road. And the folks of yesteryear, well, there's many of them right here this morning, have made that path to where we are today. Of course, with the Lord's graciousness. Of course, it was him that did it. But you guys put your shoulder to the plow. You guys financed it. You guys had the vision for it. You guys worked for it. You made the path. And let me say something this about pioneers, is that everybody that comes behind you will take that same path. And you made that path. And you know what? That path is easier to walk on, and it gets us to today. But then you and I look forward, and maybe there's no path in our personal lives, and in the direction of this church. We now become the pioneers of the future, all of us, as we move forward into unseen areas. Faith operates in unseen and uncertain areas. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Faith is certain of the things we cannot even see. I want you to get that for a minute, because sometimes we think faith is making a decision to do something that's completely all spelled out. And that's just not true. Faith never operates in that area. We don't need faith if everything's always spelled out. Faith is always operating in unseen and uncertain areas. Okay? So this morning, my message is entitled Onward, Inward, and Upward. So, next week when I say to you, what'd you think of my message last week? And you say, oh, it was good. What was it about? I have no idea. No, you'll say to me, it's about onward, inward, and upward. Say those with me. Onward, inward, and upward. Those are not words I just looked up on the internet in some cutesy little sermon website. I felt like the Spirit of God gave me those words. And they're all throughout Scripture. Onward, inward, and upward. Okay? I'm blocking myself out here. I'm used to walking around. And when I moved here, they said I shouldn't do that quite so much. I don't know who they were, but... Okay, so we're moving onward, inward, and upward. Okay? Let me say this, I like to always state the obvious. What God has for us is not in the past. Okay? We honor the people and we remember what God has done in the past, but now we look around and we see what God is doing now. And then by faith and by anticipation and by sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, we understand where God is going next. We honor the past, we remember where we've come from, but now we look around and we see what God is doing, and then by faith we move forward into unseen and uncertain areas. So my text this morning is Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. If you have that, we'll put that up on the screen. I was preaching in Mexico once, and I was wondering why nobody was turning to the text in their Bible. Till I asked the pastor, and he said, well, and it was all a bunch of men, he said, well, half these men can't read even in their own language. I thought, now what do I do? Anyway, that's just a side story. That won't cost you anything extra. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's say that together. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is Paul encouraging the church in Philippi, saying he himself presses on, and he's wanting you to press on. And this is a word for you and I this morning. Onward. God has always got us going onward. He says, I press on. How many of you know that when we press on, when we move forward, when we progress in our faith, it's not always easy. We have to press. We have to strain at times. The New Living Bible says, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize. The Message says, I keep trying. I keep trying. I keep trying to reach my goal. I press on. Another version says, I run towards the goal. So this morning, I'm going to encourage you, onward, onward. Forgetting what lies behind is actually the verse right before that. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. How many are you familiar with C.S. Lewis? He wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, and he wrote a ton of other books. Those were just the kids' books, who actually he got so much fame from. He didn't mean for those to be theological books necessarily, just kids' books, and they turned out to be just great movies and books and everything. Anyway, C.S. Lewis said this, moving on is much like, and I like simplicity, I like simple things. Moving on is much like going across a monkey bar. Okay? At some point, for you to move forward, you've got to let go of some of the things back here. Okay? And I want you to keep that picture in mind. As you move forward personally in your personal lives, there are going to be things that God has called you to loosen your grip on and let go. Let go. And sometimes letting go is one of the hardest things you'll have to do. But you've got to do it in order to move forward. You just can't sit there like this. Okay? Yes, we remember the past. Yes, we honor those people in the past. But now we're in a different time. We're in a different culture. We've been given a new assignment. We're going to have to let go of some things. Okay? And some of you are going to have to let go of some very difficult things, like hurt. And maybe even, and I'm reluctant to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, maybe there's some relationships in your life that you need to let go of. I'm not talking about divorcing your husband, okay? I'm talking about people that are in your lives that are preventing you from going on in Jesus. You may have to let go of that. You may have to let go of some of your fears. Did you know fear sometimes prevents you and I from walking in our dreams? Fear sometimes prevents you and I from committing to a relationship. Fears sometimes prevent us men, I don't know about you women, from following God wholeheartedly. I mean, jump off the cliff. God is calling us onward in our personal lives. And when we get that figured out, the church will move forward as well. It's dangerous up here. God is calling us to move forward, okay? And there will be things in your life that you're going to have to let go of. Even sin. Stop punishing yourself for the sin you've already asked God forgiveness for. He's forgiven you, okay? Can I say this? He's forgiven you. If you've asked him for forgiveness, he's forgiven you. Stop carrying it. It's done. It's over. It's nailed to the cross. You might have to give up some guilt or some slander or anger, regrets. Just learning to understand that God is actually in control of your life and your future. Okay, so in our personal life, we want to be moving onward. Let me give you some scriptures out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. In the New International Version, we got a slide for that one about letting go. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness. In other words, another version says, let go. Let go of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, as in Christ, God forgave you. Now let me read it in the Amplified Version, which is just another translation with more words. When I think of Amplified, I usually think of something that's louder, like an amplifier, but that's just me. This is just more words. When they're translating from Greek to English, sometimes they get a word and they have two words. And they think, well, which one should we put in the text? Well, they pick the one that they feel is closest, and they put that one in the text. But this other one is also part of it as well, and the Amplified just puts them all in there. Okay? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed. You were marked. You were branded as God's own. You were secured for the day of redemption. You were secured for the final deliverance through Christ from evil and from the consequences of sin. So let me tell you what my Bob translation is. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit who's given you so much. God has given you and I so much. He's forgiven us. He's made us clean. He's made us right with God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit who has given us so much. One day, you and I will be delivered once and for all, from all the consequences of sin and from all the consequences of evil. We're not in that place right now. We still suffer the consequences of our own sin at times, and we suffer the consequences of the evil in our world. But one day, you and I have been sealed for the day of redemption. Okay? We've been sealed for the day of redemption. We've been sealed for that day in the future when all the consequences of sin and evil will be gone. Are you excited? That's good news. Amen? So don't grieve the Holy Spirit by hanging on to bitterness and wrath and indignation. If I was to say one thing that I felt the entire body of Christ, if there was one major thing that keeps you and I from moving forward, it's unforgiveness. What is it? Unforgiveness. If I was to say, in all the counseling I've done through the years, one major thing that trips you and I up and keeps us from going forward is unforgiveness. We're wanting to move that direction, but we just won't release it. And let me say what forgiveness means just for a minute. It doesn't mean what they did to you was right. That's what it doesn't mean. Okay? Forgiveness does not mean that what you did to me was right. Nor does it mean that I have to go back and have some little cutesy little relationship with you. I don't. What it really means is I've turned you over to God, and He is now your judge, not me. Okay? You get that? That's part of letting go. That's part of moving forward. That's part of moving onward in our lives. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, lead a life worthy of the calling with which you were called. God is calling you and I to lead a life based on what he's done for us, based on what he's called you and I to become and to do, to move onward. He wants us to move onward. He wants us to move forward. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "No longer do I want you to walk in the futility of your mind like the rest of the world does." So what I'm saying to you this morning is, as we move forward, we want to move forward in the counsel of God. We want to move forward as the Spirit leads. We want to move forward as the Word of God says, move forward. If you're getting your counsel from the world, I have almost no use for the counsel in the world, okay? I just don't. If I need marriage counseling, and sometimes marriage counselors are good, but only if they tell you what the Word of God already says. Okay? Financial advice is good, but only if it tells you what the Word of God says. Okay? And sometimes we need those people to be sounding boards, okay? But they must reflect what God is saying, and they must bear witness with our spirit. Okay? How many times have you heard a financial counselor say, "Go sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me"? You know that, but you know Jesus said that. And I'm not saying that to you this morning, but what if he did? He said it to that guy. He didn't say it to everyone, but he did say it. And so the Holy Spirit leads us even in our financial counseling and in our relationship counseling. If you need relationship counseling, I'm not opposed to counselors, but make sure they're godly counselors and that they speak to you from the Word of God. There's times when we're to let things go. And, of course, I'm left-handed. I'm intuitive in my thinking. I'm not sure the left side of my brain even works. And most of you folks are probably cognitive, and you think very step line upon line, and I don't think that way. When God says, "Bob, I want you to let go of that pen," that's what I mean. That's what I think it means. If I was to say to my wife, "Let go of that pen," she would say, "What is the first step?" So I would say, "Well, that's the first step." And then, "Well, that's the second step. And that's the third step. And that's the fourth step." Oh, okay. And that's okay that people are different. But if you need counseling and somebody to walk you through the steps, that's great. That's awesome. But make sure the counsel you get based on the Word of God. God is calling you and I onward. Say onward. Okay, next is inward. We're going to go to Acts chapter 22, verse 14. And we have a slide for that one. And he said, "The God of our forefathers has destined and appointed you to come progressively to know his will, to become better and more intimately acquainted with his will." So I picked out those words, destined and appointed. You and I are destined. We are created. We are designed. We are appointed. We are chosen to become more and more intimately acquainted with his will. Throughout the Bible, there's many, many people who have a conversational relationship with God. Say that with me. Conversational relationship with God. Sometimes we think, well, those were just the great people of God in the Old Testament and the great people of God in the New Testament. No. It wasn't the Bible is not a book of exceptions. I want you to get this point. It's a little deep, so you got to wake up. The Bible is not a book of exceptions. It's a book of examples, how to live and how to follow God. These people were showing you and I how to live as Christians in a conversational relationship with God. You and I are to grow more and more and more and more into a place where we understand intimately the will of God through the Word of God and through learning the promptings of the Holy Spirit. That is our inward relationship with God. He has got you and I drawing in, drawing in, drawing closer. Come closer. Come closer. Our outward man gets older every day. but our inward man is to be renewed each and every day. Each and every day, you and I are to be inwardly renewed. Even though I'm getting older, I'm being renewed in my spirit each and every day. I went to a funeral yesterday, and I saw one of my best friends from college. I hadn't seen him in 30 years, and I did not even recognize him. Oh my goodness, he's old. It just happens, doesn't it? It's like you wake up one day and you're 25 and the next you're 50. The inward man is to be is being called by the person, by the Father who loves you. He's being called, he's calling you inwardly to an intimate relationship with him, to a convert. That's where he has you going. And he will design the activities of your life, forcing you in that direction. You can say no to him. But let me say, when you begin to say no to God wanting you to move forward, it's the consequences are not good. You become lean in your soul. You become it's just not good. Your passion goes away. Your vision goes away, and you just kind of put in one foot in front of the other. That is not how we're to finish the race. You and I are called to finish a race. Have you ever noticed a racer doesn't wear much clothes? You don't go out and see Gary German. He's got a jacket on and heavy work boots, and he's getting ready to run a 5K. No, I mean, it's almost embarrassing what some of those runners wear. Okay? But let me say this, in our personal lives, you and I are called to run the race, and if there's anything that's holding us back, take it off. Get rid of it. Let it go. You're moving that direction. Okay? Onward, inward. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. I don't have a slide for that. He is calling us to draw near. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance that faith brings. We are destined and appointed to become better and more intimately acquainted with his will. We are called inward. And last verse is upward. Onward, inward, upward. In each step of that moving forward is that we have to let go of something. Okay? Upward. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Again, this has the word upward in it. I press on toward a goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. You and I have an upward calling, and we can never forget where our destination is. It's heavenward. You and I are calling, being called to heaven, and that should affect how we live today. You and I are being called heavenward. We're being called, we're just passing through this life. Honestly, it's a vapor. Like I said yesterday, I was like, it was 30 years since I'd seen that guy. And we were roommates in college. And life just passes. Oh my goodness. And you know that. This life is a vapor. But we've got to keep moving onward, inward, and upward. We have a heavenly calling. We are being called heavenward. Let me say, Paul says this, and I can say this. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all this. I'm delivering this message, but believe me, I'm living it too. I'm learning to let go. One thing I've learned this year, and I'm trying to practice it every day, is that my soul was not designed to live in the past. And my soul is not designed to live in the future. We were not created for the past and the future. It's too much. I can't go there. Those aren't healthy places for me. The past, nor the future. But you know what? When I start living today, my life becomes fuller. I begin to have this thing called thriving life that's part of our church's vision statement. You know, one part of living a thriving life is learning to live in the day. All of a sudden, my conversations with people, I'm not out there. I'm right here. I'm not back here worrying about all the things in my past or all the things in my future. Or, oh my goodness, what am I going to do for retirement? I have no idea. I haven't even started thinking about retirement. We're just sojourners and pilgrims. We're just passing through. Jonathan Edwards was a great Puritan preacher, and he said this, it becomes us, he uses kind of funny language here, but it becomes us to spend this life only as a journey towards heaven. It becomes us. It's very becoming to a person who is living this life only as a journey towards heaven, to which we should subordinate all other concerns of life. In other words, all of their concerns of life should be underneath our thoughts that we are headed to heaven. And one day, we will step into that life. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, it says, and it just got done listing all these people, these great people of faith in the Old Testament. It's actually called the faith chapter. If you want to read a very short synopsis of some really awesome people in the New Testament about the Old Testament, go to Hebrews chapter 11. It's the faith chapter. He just gets done listing all these great people. Kind of reminded me of last week. We put all those great people up here. And then he says this. And these people were still living by faith when they died. They had not yet received all the things that were promised them. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. People who say such things like that show that they are looking for a country of their own, longing, verse 16, for a better country, a heavenly one. You and I are destined for heaven. You and I are called inward to an intimate relationship with God. And we're called onward in this life, according to the counsel of the Word of God and according to the counsel of the Holy Spirit. So, part of moving forward is understanding by trust, by faith, that God has something better for us in the future. He always does. That's His plan for you and I. Whether we've got only one more day to live, or whether we've got 75 more years to live. Okay, God has something good for us. We must continue to move forward, closer, more intimate with relationship with God, and upward with our eyes on our heavenly destination. We've got to look back and see what God did in the past and remember that. Never forget what God has done in your life. Okay, never forget it. If God did some amazing things in your life in the past, write them down. And that will jolt your faith. God has taken me through so many things. Oh my gosh. And last week we talked about the 12 stones and the altars. And I think of the Old Testament again. When God did this amazing thing, they would pile up these big stack of rocks. And they would have a sacrifice. And they would have a time of worship. And they would praise. And they would honor God. And they would remember what He did. And then every time they walked by that pile of rocks, in the generations to come, they would remember that day. And God always calls us to remember what He's done in the past. And then He also calls us to be alert to what God is doing around us today, right now. And He calls us inwardly to understand the moving of the Holy Spirit and to move into the future with that kind of thinking. Always knowing that this life is just a vapor, okay? Don't be hanging on to stuff. If you're running the race today and you got all kinds of heavy clothes on, you got all kinds of things that are holding you back, you need to take them off. Just saying. You want to live a life filled up and running over? You got to do some things. You got to let go of some things. When we moved to Sterling, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but we did sell a great big, beautiful, brand new home, and now we live in a little tiny condominium. He's like, I got one car garage, and it doesn't even fit the extra furniture I pulled out of my other house. But you know what? God was calling me here, and we're so excited to be here because God's got something for us right here. And we're excited about it, and we've kind of come alive, and our relationship has just gone really close, and God's got some good things for us in the future, but you know what? We've got to let go of some stuff in the back here. Let go. God is faithful. We just sang, He's a good, good Father. He's a good Father. We can trust Him. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And you and I are people of faith. We're children of God. We're children of a very faithful God. And He's got us on mission. And He's got us in a moving pattern. Onward, inward, and upward. Okay? Worship team, would you come up? Let's be intentional this week about letting some of those words in number one, bitterness, indignation, wrath, resentment, quarreling, slander, and malice. If some of those are tripping you up, ask the Lord to help you release some of that stuff. Again, forgiving someone doesn't mean necessarily that they deserve forgiveness. Okay, but it's holding you back. It's holding you back. If you got unforgiveness towards somebody, ask God to help you let it go. Sometimes you have to do that 1,000 times. Every 5 minutes, every time its ugly head peeks up, just say, I forgive him. I release him to you, Jesus. I release him. And then number two, I want you to pick one of those up. Learn to be useful and helpful and kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. Okay, let's pray and then we'll just go to worship. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, that you have us on this exciting journey of life, that you want us to move forward in you, God. You want us to move onward. You want us to move inward, closer to you, with an intimate relationship with you, God. And we know, Jesus, that our ultimate goal is in heaven. Is in heaven. We're heavenward bound, God. We're just sojourners through this life, God. We thank you that you have us called to heaven, God, into a place where the consequences of sin and evil will be no more. And we just praise you, God, and thank you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen.